are worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. To take a seat. I'm going to invite Harvey up. And I'm just going to take a moment now to pray. Father, we thank you so much for Harvey. We thank you for all that he shared yesterday. God, may you speak through him tonight and challenge us with what he has to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Cool. It's good to be back with you again. Who's enjoyed Letton Hall House Party so far, right? It's been awesome. We've had a good time. But there's a lot left, right? And it's going to be an awesome time. I'm excited to continue looking at the kingdom of God together. We've been looking at now, not yet. And we've been exploring what the kingdom of God is and what it means for my life. See, I believe that God is establishing and has established a kingdom that we get to be a part of, which is exciting. And today, the session, I've labeled it as kingdom character. See, because I believe that when we join God's kingdom, when we decide to let Jesus into our life, we're saying, God, would you shape my character from the inside out? God, would you make me more like you? When we let God rule and reign in our lives, he shapes us to become more like him. And see, we live in a world today which says, my truth is the truth, right? My truth might be different to your truth or your truth, right? My truth might be different, but my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth, right? I don't think that is true. See, because here's the thing. I know that what I think is true one minute, the next minute I find out that it's not so true. And so if my truth is mine and yours is yours, then who actually knows the truth? And so when we say kingdom of God, when we say we want to be a part of the kingdom of God, what we're actually saying is I'm going to accept God's truth over any other truth. And that includes in my life and my character as well. And so there's a parable where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. And this is where I want to start off. In Matthew 13, verse 31 to 32, it says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. See, I believe that God might want to plant some stuff in us today, some things that might seem small, some habits, some routines, some stuff in our character that he might want to do that might seem small and it might start small. But here's the thing, I don't think we grow by chance. I think we grow by choice. We get a choice today of whether or not we're going to let God shape us. And I think that starts with saying, God, I want to connect with you. I've got this old laptop, right? It's this old HP thing. It's really bad. But it just doesn't connect to the internet. It doesn't matter like how good the signal strength is on the Wi-Fi. It doesn't matter how close I am to the router. It just will not connect. Like, it's a real pain. But it would be really weird, like when we don't connect to the internet. I saw some of you on the first day trying to connect to the Wi-Fi, like trying to get the code. Like, anyone actually figure it out? Okay, that's awkward. And don't put your hand up. The leaders will see you. But we try as much as we can to connect if we can't connect. See, it would be weird if with my laptop I went, you know what? I can't get connected. There must not be a thing called Wi-Fi. I give up on Wi-Fi. I can't see it. I can't feel it. And therefore, there is no Wi-Fi. I can't get connected. See, but isn't that exactly how we treat God sometimes? Isn't that exactly how we treat God in certain situations? When we don't feel connected to God, when it feels like God is distant, suddenly we get to a place where we're like, I want to give up on God. See, what if today all we needed to do was get reconnected? In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Again, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I don't know anything about gardening. Like, I haven't done gardening at all in my life. But what I can tell you is that if a branch is going to grow fruit on it, it has to be connected to something. It has to be connected to a vine. Why? Because the vine is where the life flows from. And so if it's going to produce fruit, there has to be life flowing through it. And what Jesus is saying here, when he's saying, remain in me as I remain in you, he's saying, if you want my life to flow through you and through your character, then you have to stay connected to me. And so maybe today, for some of us, we need to stop looking at we're struggling to connect with God. Maybe I need to give up on him. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you need to find a way today to get reconnected to God. And we're going to explore some ways that we can look to do that. See, because I don't think that it happens by chance. It happens by choice. And there are some things we can do today to help us to reconnect with God and allow him to shape our character. See, in life, I want to suggest that we're always in a fight, right? And I know what you're thinking. Harvey, Ben, whatever you want to call me. I'm not in a fight right now. I'm actually doing okay. Maybe you're thinking life's pretty good right now. It's all going pretty well. But here's the thing. You're either fighting against something or you're fighting for something. Maybe for some of you in the room, you're fighting against some stuff that's pretty hard right now. Maybe you're battling with anxiety. Maybe you're battling with depression. Maybe you're fighting against some stuff, fighting against some family issues that you've got going on, or the notion that this generation is lazy. Maybe you want to fight against that. Maybe you're fighting against something today. But if you're not fighting against something, then you better be fighting for something. See, we can fight for stuff. We can fight for equality. We can fight for the environment. We can fight for who we are, and we can fight for who God wants us to become. We're either fighting against something or for something, but we're always in a fight. And see, I think it's up to us how we fight. And I want to propose right at the start, if you don't remember anything else that I say today, remember this. The fight is won or lost based on your training. The fight is won or lost based on your training. Now, I needed a football volunteer, so I asked the leaders who was pretty good at football. Is JN somewhere? Where are you? Somewhere in the room. Hey, I've heard he's pretty good. Awesome. Do you want to jump up? I'm not going to get you to do anything to do with football just yet, but maybe in a bit. All right. Is that cool? So, what I want you to do, I've got a load of stuff in that box. And why don't you pick up the football first? Right? And all I want you to do is try really hard, okay, to spin the ball on your finger for 1 minute. What do you reckon? Okay. No, just try really hard, okay? Okay. Put that down. That's fine. That's fine. If you pick up these balls, right, there's four of them. You ever juggled four balls before? No? It's going to be difficult, right? Just try really hard, okay? Give it everything this time. Okay. I don't think that's giving it everything. Try harder. JN, shocking. Right, okay, last one. We've got a pack of cards in there. If you get those cards out, now I've seen this trick that magicians do where they get the cards and they hold the pack in one hand and they like flick it over their head and it goes in this nice trail. They catch it in the other hand, right? It's really cool. I reckon if you try really hard, you can nail this. This is yours, right? You ready? Just flick it from one hand up in the air and into your other hand, yeah? You just got to try hard, right? Here we go. This is the one. I'm ready. You're getting help from people. He's a real magician in the room there. Go on, we got this. Right, let's count him in. There's 5 seconds, right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Yes, come on. Okay, good effort. Do you want to just hang there for me a second? Is that all right? He did a good job there. But see, Jay, he didn't fail there because he didn't try, right? He tried real hard. And see, I think that maybe some of us in the room, we're wondering why we failed. We're wondering why we failed in an exam. We're wondering why we failed in a relationship. And it isn't the fact that we didn't try, but it's the fact that we didn't put in the practice. It's the fact that we didn't train. See, I learned playing sport early on. The game is not won when you get out on the pitch. It's won in the locker room when you put together some plays to win, some practice to win, when you're in the gym in the morning at 6 a.m. putting in the training so that when it comes to the game, you can beat the opponent. Do you want to pick that football up again? We'll give you a chance to redeem yourself, right? All I want you to do is like 5 keepy-ups. Do you reckon you can do that? Easy. Give him a round of applause. Come on. Thank you, bro. You can head back to your seat. Good job, man. Good job. See, I knew that he would be able to do those keepy-ups. Do you know why? Because he put in the practice, right? He tried really hard with the other stuff, but he practiced this stuff. And so I knew he would be able to do it. We're going to look today at a story in the Bible. It's the story of the Israelites. And in this story, we're at a point in the Bible, you might have heard of Moses before, but Moses is a guy that God speaks to, and he's like, right, these Israelites, they are slaves to the Egyptians. And so God says to Moses, right, go and get them out of Egypt. And so he goes, and God does a bunch of awesome stuff, and then they're taken out of Egypt, so they're not slaves anymore. And they're wandering around in the desert, in the wilderness. And this is where we're picking up the story. And they start to complain a little bit. They start to freak out a little bit, because they're like, what is going on? Why are we in the desert? We were freed from slavery, but now we're in the desert. And they start freaking out about something real important. They're freaking out about food, okay? And so they chat to Moses like, we have no food. Like, what is going on? And so Moses, he chats to God, and God sends this bread from heaven. It's called manna. He sends it down, and for a while they're happy because God's sending them bread to eat. But it gets to a point where they're fed up of the bread. Who knows, food is a big deal, right? Here's what it says, Numbers 11, verse 4. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. Do you remember Egypt, that place where they were slaves? This is what they're thinking about. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, the McDonald's, the KFC, the Domino's cookies, if you know, you know. Sometimes, see, we would rather have what's comfortable over what is best. We'd rather have what's comfortable over what is best. McDonald's is not the best for my health, but it's a comfort food and it's pretty tasty, right? See, sometimes we'd rather have what's comfortable over what is best. My grandparents, I love them, but technology, you see, is just not their thing. They're really bad with technology. Every time I visit my grandparents, we get the same conversation going on, like, you need to get some Wi-Fi. Like, it is shocking. We get in the room, you can't go on Instagram. It is terrible. I remember in lockdown, it was at a point where we were allowed to drive up there, but we weren't allowed to go in the house. It was a bit weird. And so me and my dad, we went up to visit my grandparents. And so we stood at the door. We're having a conversation with my grandma. And my dad gets up his phone, and he zooms in my mom from her house, zooms in my brother and my sister from different places as well. And my grandma, she's freaking out because she's like, how are you doing this? Like, you've got all these people on this one little phone. It doesn't make sense. Like, they're still on a Nokia brick, you know what I mean? Like, and they're freaking out. How is this happening? Like, they're loving it. And my dad says to her, look, you just need to get a phone and get some Wi-Fi, and you can connect as well. Like, you can be on these Zoom calls. You can have this, and it'll be better than what you've got. And my grandma, she's like, yeah, but what if it breaks? Like, I won't know how to fix it and all of this. And my dad's like, yeah, but it's so much better once you get it working. And she's like, yeah, but it's not what I'm used to. It's not what is comfortable to me. I wonder if there's some people in the room, and you keep going back to some stuff that feels comfortable, but God's got something that is better for you. There's some people who keep going back to Egypt, the place where they are slaves. But God's got a promise, but you've just got to get through the wilderness first. You keep going back to, maybe there's an addiction in your life. Maybe there's a relationship that you know isn't healthy. Maybe it's pornography. We don't talk about that enough in church, but it's a big problem in the world. Maybe there's something you keep going back to because it's comfortable and you're used to it, but God has something better for you. And maybe the best thing that you could do is to leave that behind and decide, you know what? I want better over what is comfortable. I want better over what is comfortable. And then maybe then you'd realize that sometime just eating bread is worth it. And for these Egyptians, it didn't seem worth it. They were seeing the bread and they were confused because they had more food before, but they were slaves to the Egyptians. See, my first point is this. Training isn't comfortable. Training isn't comfortable. When you're saying to God, would you shape my character? Would you help me to become more like you? It's not always comfortable. Because the way that we live isn't always the same as the way God wants us to. And sometimes that's difficult. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes that means letting go of some things that are comfortable in our life in order to grab onto the things that God has for us that might be better. And so that's where we're at in the story, right? They're in the wilderness. They've had the manna for a little bit. But they're in the desert. And they're doubting Moses. They're doubting God. And it's easy for me to think, like, why didn't they just get on with it? Like, they're on the way to the promise. Like, just deal with the bread for a little bit. But what I've realized is it's probably not that enjoyable when you don't know how long it's going to take to get to your destination. Like, have you ever been in the car and you're, like, shouting to your parents or whatever? Like, are we there yet? Like, how long have we got left? Like, it will drive the driver crazy if you're in a car. But, like, I can imagine the Israelites, they're like, Moses, how long is it going to take? How long until we get to this promised land that God has for us? How long are we going to have to be here in the desert? I can imagine they're thinking to themselves, this seems pointless. Why are we just walking around? Why is there all these weird rules and laws that are happening? Why are we here? What is the point in all of this? My second point is this. Training can seem pointless. Training can seem pointless. When you don't know where you're going, when you're in the wilderness, when you can't see the end goal. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. Like, what's the point in studying for this exam? Like, it's so far away. It seems so pointless. What's the point in getting up early and spending some time praying? Because eventually my prayer life's going to be incredible. It's just not right now. Like, what is the point in doing any of that? But see, sometimes I think we don't see the benefit of our training until we reach a battle. We don't see the benefit of our training until we reach a battle in the moment where it seems pointless. But see, what if God is using the thing that might seem a little bit pointless to train you for what he's got for you in the future? I heard a talk ages ago about the Karate Kid. It was interesting, real theological. Anyone watch Cobra Kai, by the way, season 5? Come on, place to be. But there's this talk that is talking about Karate Kid. And in the film Karate Kid, there's Daniel-san being trained by Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi gets him doing all these weird things, like waxing on, waxing off, painting the fence, all this weird stuff. And he's thinking, like, what is this all about? I wanted to come here to learn karate. It just doesn't make sense, and it seems completely pointless to him. And see, I wonder if he was there thinking, like, what is the end goal? What is the destination in this? Why am I doing this? For these Israelites, I can imagine they're thinking to themselves, why are we doing this? Why are we going through this? What is the destination? And see, I wonder today if sometimes we don't know everything and we're not told everything by God, because if we knew everything, if we knew how everything was going to turn out, then what would be the point in trusting in God? What would be the point in having faith? Faith is defined in the Bible as confidence in what is unseen, assurance of what we hope for. And so therefore, it means we're trusting God with the things that we don't know. And so if we knew everything, we wouldn't need God. What would be the point in our faith? And so maybe today you're in a place where you feel like, what's the point? What is the point in any of this? Whenever I try to get better, I get worse. Whenever I try to train, it gets more difficult. When I don't know where to go, what is the point in trying to get better in the gym? Because every time I get there, I don't see any results. What is the point in getting up and spending time praying when it doesn't make a difference in my connection with God, or at least it doesn't feel like it? Sometimes training feels pointless. But what if today God is using that stuff to build muscle memory in you? Just like Daniel-san was being trained in karate without even realizing, what if God is wanting to do some stuff in your life in the practice? In the practice. Maybe your life's going great right now. But what if there are some practices that God wants to put in your life and in your heart that will train you to become the people that he wants you to become for his kingdom? And then we get to this point in the story. And they finally get to the promised land. Like, you know that feeling when you arrive? Like, it's a good feeling. They get to the place that they've been trying to get to. And Moses says to a bunch of people, he sends them out to investigate this land, to see what this land is like. And it says this, Numbers 13, verse 18. See what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, if they are few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? In other words, what are we fighting for, and what are we fighting against? Because we're always in a fight. What does our fight look like? And then it carries on, and they respond, they come back, they've got the news, and they come back to Moses. Here's what they say. They give Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and with honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there, they are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there, basically. If you've heard of the story of David and Goliath, Goliath is a descendant from the Anak. They are big people, and so they're freaking out a little bit. We saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites. Remember that name. That's going to be important in a bit. The Amalekites live in the Negev. I wonder today, are you more focused on the win? Are you focused on the goal? Are you focused on becoming the person that you want to become and the person that God might want you to become? Or are you busy looking at how difficult it's going to be to get there? So many of us, we want the promise, but we don't want to do any of the groundwork. We don't want to do any of the work. I want a six-pack, but I don't want to do sit-ups, right? I want to be in a good, healthy relationship, but actually I'm still watching movies that might portray relationships in a way that I know is not what God intended for a relationship. See, we want the promise, but we don't want to put in the practice. I used to play basketball for a long time. Basketball is the greatest sport in the world. I've got a little photo on the screen. What do you think of that? Come on. I know you've seen it before. You're all like, I recognize that guy. Here's me again on this next photo. Yeah? Just kidding. But I used to play basketball. I played it for quite a long time. And I had this one coach. His name was Andreas. And now Andreas was a great coach, but he was absolutely brutal, right? He was the kind of guy, like, if you split one of your biceps, he'd get you to do 10 more curls before you could put the weight down. Like, he was brutal. And so one day we're out and we're doing this thing. It's called cardio. It's basically the kind of thing that no one ever wants to do except the crazy guys who were up at 6 a.m. running around the building. But we were doing cardio this one day. And I swear, we were running for hours and hours. We just kept going and going. And I've got a friend, his name was Junior. And Junior and Coach, they didn't really get on too well. And so Junior starts kicking off. Like, he's walking around all the teammates like, Coach is being ridiculous. Like, we shouldn't be here. This is crazy. And he's kicking off. But Coach hears him from the sidelines. And so he pulls us all in, like, this is not a good moment. You can see he's like on fire. He's like going to explode. And so he comes over, he pulls us all in, and he starts shouting. I remember, here's what he said. I don't care if you like me. I'm not here to be liked, but I'm here to make you better. And then he said something else, like, if you want to be babies, you can leave or whatever. But what I remember from that was training can hurt. Training can be hard. Training can hurt. Putting in hours of stress on your muscles, it can be painful. But anyone who's been to the gym or done weights, you know that eventually those muscles, they get stronger as a result. And today, there might be some muscles that you aren't training because it hurts. Getting up at 6 a.m. to read your Bible, that's hard and it hurts. Maybe there's some other things. Maybe it's studying for an exam. Like, we want to be watching Netflix instead, and so it's hard. It's difficult to let go of that and to do the other thing. Sometimes training can be hard. But if we want to reach the plans that God has for our lives, if you're a Christian today, living in a way that represents the kingdom of God, then maybe there are some hard things that we might have to go through as a result. And we touched on this a little bit last night as well, so I'm not going to go into this too much. But that doesn't mean, right, I want to get this straight. It doesn't mean you just allow pain. And there might be some stuff in this room that you're going through that is really difficult. That doesn't mean you just get on with that. There are people in this room, there are leaders in this room for you to talk to, for you to voice some of that stuff to. But what I am saying is sometimes doing stuff to shape our character into the people that God wants us to be and to the people and the goals and dreams that we might have as well, sometimes that can be difficult. Sometimes the training in that can be hard. But I want you to remember this one line. I said it at the start. The fight is won or lost based on your training. And here's what I believe, that training is more important than trying. Training is more important than trying. That doesn't mean we don't try, right? But see, if we just base everything on trying hard, like, it'll get to a point where we're faced with a situation we've never been in and it isn't going to work out too well. But if we train and we prepare ourselves for it, then we can be in a place that whatever battle comes against us, we're ready to face it. If you're a Christian here today, I want to speak to you directly for a second. If you're not, just treat it as a little bit of a backstage pass towards what Christians believe and stuff. But if you're a Christian here today, see, I believe that you can fight for your friends to know Jesus. But I think that fight, it has to start in your training. It has to start in your practice. I believe that you can train and prepare to tell your friends about Jesus, because in the moment, it's really hard to do. If you get a friend coming up to you and asking you questions about who God is and who Jesus is, sometimes we can be put on the spot and that can be difficult. But see, here's the thing. If I have a friend that does not know the love and the hope of Jesus, a friend that might not know that I can know God in my life, not just in my life, but in eternity, and they come to me and they have a question, I would rather be prepared, because if they're going to even know God or not know God, I'd rather be prepared to answer that question than not be. I believe that we can prepare for those things. A guy, I'm just trying to find his name. I definitely wrote it down on here somewhere. But this guy took over a cycling team in the 2000s. There we go. His name is Dave Brailsford. Dave Brailsford, he came up with this theory. It was called the aggression of marginal gains. And this theory, it was that if he could just improve different aspects of the cycling team by just 1%, if he could improve enough 1%, eventually the cycling team would be so much better as a result. And so he started to do weird things. Like, he started to make sure there was no dust on the bikes. He started to make sure that the wheels were, like, greased up a little bit better. He would make sure that the outfits they were wearing were a little bit more streamlined by 1%, and all these different things to add up to make the team a little bit better. And as a result, the 2003 World Olympics, the British cycling team, they went on to win 9 Olympic gold records, and 7 world records, 9 Olympic records, 7 world records. See, I believe that today, maybe there are some things that we need to put in place in our life that will start off like a mustard seed, that might start off seeming more like that 1%. But over time, God will use those things to grow. We know the kingdom of God works that way. And so the small things that we put in our life now, God will use to help grow us and change us into the people that he wants us to be. Why don't the band jump back up for me and stick on the keyboard? That would be awesome. I'm just trying to find my notes because I closed them by accident a minute ago, and I'm just trying to find them again. So bear with me. See, building kingdom character, it can be difficult, right? We talked about training. We talked about how sometimes it can be painful, how sometimes it can seem a little bit pointless, and sometimes it can be a little bit uncomfortable. But see, we have to focus on the goal of becoming the people that we want to be, but maybe it's beyond that. If you're a Christian, it's becoming who God wants us to become. It's being a part of his kingdom. one of the guys in this story, which I love, his name is Joshua. Joshua is one of the guys who explores the land, and then he comes back. He gets so mad at the report the other guys give. Here's what it says in the Bible. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I can't say that, maybe some of you can, who were among those who explored the land, they tore their clothes, and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good." See, Joshua, he keeps his eye focused. This is the promise that God has given me, and so I want to chase after this. This is a good promise. But what I love about Joshua is the first time we see Joshua, he's in a battle, right? It's in Exodus chapter 17. He's in a battle. He's in a fight. And in this battle, he's leading the army of Israel. And Moses is there as well. But Moses is up on a mountain. And this weird thing about the battle, God is with Moses in the battle. But every time Moses lifts his hands in the air, the Israelites are winning. Every time his hands are down, they start losing. And so Moses gets some guys around him, Aaron and Hur, who hold his hands in the air. Guys, get some friends around you who will hold your hands in the air, who will help you out when life gets difficult. People who will point you towards Jesus when you might be going off track. Get some people around you. And so they hold his hands in the air. And here's what it says, Exodus 17, verse 13. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Do you remember that name, the Amalekites? I told you to remember earlier. They were the same people that Joshua went on to face in this land that he was promised. See, here's what Joshua knew. God had done it before, and he could do it again. And so maybe today you're in the room, and you've seen God do amazing things in your life. Maybe you've seen him do amazing things in your family or amazing things in your church. Maybe you've seen him do some awesome stuff. And so maybe tonight you need to remind yourself of what God has done to be reminded of what he could do. Why don't we stand to our feet as we start to wrap up? See, Joshua, he focuses on the goal. He focuses on the promise God has given him. See, maybe today you've gotten out of training. Maybe you've gotten out of discipline or out of some of the good decisions that you know are good for your journey with Jesus. Maybe some decisions that are just good for your life in general. But I believe that we can get back into training today, that we can train our character to become more like God's. And that comes through our connection with God. See, but I think the best place to start with this is to ask God, God, what do you want to train in me? What do you want to train in me? We looked at these three points. Maybe there are some things that we need to let go of. Maybe there are some things we need to let go of in order to grab what is better. And see, maybe you're in the room tonight, and try not to get distracted. Some of this stuff is real important, because this isn't between me and you. This is between you and God. Maybe there's some stuff that you've got in your life that you know this is not God's best for you. But maybe you're hanging on to it because it's comfortable. But maybe what God is saying tonight is you need to let go of some of that. And that's not an easy thing to do. And some of that stuff might be difficult to let go of, but you know in your heart that that's best. If that's you tonight, there's going to be some leaders at the back. And as the team play in a minute, all I want you to do is just to head to the back. And they're just going to pray with you. They're not going to ask you super, like, amount of details about what it is that you want to let go of. Like, that's between you and God. But they do want to pray with you, because we believe prayer is powerful and that God is a God who breaks chains. When we are in a situation where stuff is holding on to us, stuff is imprisoning us, we believe that God can help us let go of some of that in order to grab what is better, in order to grab hold of the character that God wants us to have. And so if that's you tonight, I want you to head to the back. And we're just going to spend a bit of time, we're going to worship together. And we're going to make room for God to do what he wants to do tonight. But part of what we said at the start, kingdom character, being a part of God's kingdom means letting God do what he wants to do in our heart and in our character and saying, God, I accept your truth over any other truth. And so tonight, why don't you just come with a posture that says, God, would you do whatever you want to do in me? What do you want to do? Do whatever you want to do in my life and through my life. See, I believe that this is a generation that doesn't back down. This is a generation that does not hold back, but a generation that says, God, would you do whatever you want to do in my heart that allows me to make a difference in the world around me for the name of Jesus? And so tonight we want to come with a posture that says, God, would you change me from the inside out? And so I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to spend some time worshiping. But don't lose that posture tonight. Be open for what God might want to do in your heart tonight. God, I thank you. I thank you that you do help change our character. God, I thank you that you plant seeds within us that grow. And Lord, I pray tonight that God, for some of us, if there's things we need to let go of in order to grab what it is that you have for us, Lord, that we would have the confidence, God, and the braveness to be able to do that and to be able to get prayer on that and to be able to seek you on it, God, and to say, God, I want to grab you with both hands, and so I'm going to let go of this thing. And God, for those of us today who want to say, maybe for the first time, God, would you have control in my life? God, would you move in my character? Would you change me into the person that you want me to be? God, I pray that we would be able to connect with you tonight. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, as we come to you with open hands saying, God, do whatever you want to do in our lives and through our lives. Jesus, we just ask, would you move in us? Amen.